Welcome to Straight and Curly,
a podcast for self-improvement junkies.
I'm Kelly Exeter.
And I'm Carly Jacobs.
This is episode 99.
Hello and welcome to Straight and Curly. Here's a lovely review from our gorgeous listener, Anna. If you're part of the Facebook group, you'd know her. She pops up all the time with lovely advice and her enthusiasm is just delightful to have in the group. So she says, I've been dying to leave a review since day one of this podcast, oblige over here, but since I never owned an iPhone until now, I've just had to make do with annoying all of my friends by constantly talking about two ladies in Australia who have this awesome podcast. I've listened in my commute to work, during visits to the dentist, and even when I'm on the treadmill. I love your practical and research-based approach to making a better life for ourselves and that you keep it real. Always a pleasure to listen. Thanks for all the work you do, you put into the show.
Thank you, Anna. We so appreciate your contributions in the group and the lovely feedback that you always send us. It never goes unnoticed. So next, onto my personal favorite segment of the podcast in this new format we're trialing this season, and that is Carly's random thing of the week. Although I think Carly's random thing of the week is a little bit sad this week. So, Carl's, what have you
got? It is a little bit sad. Well, it's a little bit sad, but also I realize that my random thing of the week is always based on my house because I clearly never leave it. So I'm like, I should get some more random things about, you know, things that happen outside of my tiny little house complex. So this one is a bit sad, but I don't know if I mentioned my neighbor's cat, Yoshi, and he comes to visit us and used to like run across the roof and he'd come in and like splank around inside our house, but he's gone missing, which is really, really sad. And I'm actually really, really bummed about it, but that's not my random story. My random story is that right before he disappeared, he left us a dead bird in our driveway, which was very thoughtful of him. So, and I refuse to touch it because it's not my cat. Like we share a driveway with four other houses. And I was like, my cat didn't do it. I hate dead things so much. I'm just going to ignore this and hope it goes away. So we've got this body corporate hired gardener who comes and does yard cleaning. And I heard him leaf blowing outside and I was like, oh, thank God that dead bird's going to be gone. Because surely if you were a gardener and you saw a dead bird, because it's kind of your job to just like clean up all the crap in someone's yard. No, he just leaf blew the dead bird all over the driveway. So I went out thinking, yay, I don't have to deal with that horrible carcass right by my car. Instead, there's just like bits of feathers and feet like all over the driveway. It's disgusting. I was like, you are the worst like landscaper, cleaner upper person ever. But then again, I was like, this might be the last gift I ever get from Yoshi. So I'm a little bit emotional about the whole thing, to be honest.
Oh, dear.
So that's my random thing of the week.
That is very random and sweet and weird. And, yeah, that guy really should have cleaned up the dead bird.
Yeah, I'd actually like everyone else's opinions on that. Like, am I being unreasonable to think that – I mean, I actually think that the owner of Yoshi should have picked it up, because if you have a bird that – he's got a bell and everything, but if you've got a cat that – kills birds, that's a really big problem and you should probably keep your cat inside. And secondly, you know, if your kid makes a mess, you're the one that cleans it up. Am I being unreasonable?
No, but maybe they didn't realize, but I still do think the leaf blower guy should probably have cleaned up and not blown the bird all over the driveway. That's a bit gross.
So gross.
So next segment is, if you were our best friend, we'd tell you. And Ash Banjo, obviously not her real name, asked, how to stand up for yourself when the person being rude to you has mental health issues that are unmanaged. So she says, for me, mental health does not excuse bad behavior, but bad behavior is all around us and can frequently be attributed to mental health issues. If we can't learn how to manage our family and friends in this regard, how can we expect the broader community to deal with mental health issues with more compassion and support? So she says, I'm trying to learn how to be true to myself, stick up for myself and what I believe in, and behave in a way that is working towards building the future I wish to see for this world and for my potential future children. But if people are not getting therapy, how am I supposed to help them or at the very least deal with them? I guess what I'm asking is, how do we convince or encourage someone who is very mentally ill to get into therapy? So this is something I've dealt with personally from both sides of the coin. So I've been the person with mental health issues that everyone has to make allowances for, and I've been the person needing to make allowances for other people. So I know I really appreciated the people who made allowances for me when I was really struggling. That said, I was getting therapy and they could see I was trying to help myself at the same time. And then on the other side of the coin, knowing others are struggling and having to make allowances for them, I think there's a few things that factor into just how much you can be there for other people. So I do think you have to look after yourself first. And if being the buffer for someone else's mental health issues is affecting your own mental health, then you need to take a step back and look after yourself first without any guilt. Can you encourage other people to get therapy? I find this very tricky because, you know, we all labor under the illusion that we can and should be able to sort our shit out ourselves. And, you know, even the most self-aware of us take a while to find our way to therapy when we need it. So to kind of tell someone else point blank that they should get therapy, I think it would be very easy for them to kind of take that as an indictment on how they've been handling themselves.
I totally agree. Yeah. I think telling people they need therapy is very risky at the best of times. I've had people tell me I need therapy and I've been like, oh, wow, no,
yeah, go away from me. It's very hard not to take that really personally because you're just like, what have I done that – yeah, because it can be – yeah, to say that to someone, it comes across very aggressive.
Which is bad because that's a stigma around therapy, yes, too, though.
That's right. And it's usually, you know, very seldom is it said in a – aggressive and I hate you kind of way. It's usually said in I really care about you and I feel like you need more help kind of way. But I've found that the best way to help other people get therapy is to be very open about the fact that I've had therapy and talk about it like it's just the most normal thing in the world, because really it should be, you know.
It is.
You know, we go to doctors when we're not feeling well in our bodies, so why on earth should we think twice about going to a therapist when we're not feeling well in our minds? I don't know. But in the end, I think we can all be compassionate and understanding about mental health issues, but we can only provide a direct level of support that fits within our own mental health and lives. So, and also, sometimes if you give someone too much support, you can be unwittingly stopping them from getting the kind of help that they really need. So I guess what I'm saying is never feel bad about drawing back and setting boundaries in that regard. So yeah, what do you think, Carl?
Look, I agree with everything that Kelly said. I think compassion and allowances are so important in the fight to destigmatize mental health issues. But on the other side of the coin, everyone has the right to feel safe in public spaces, in their home, and in the workplace. And if there's a person with unmanaged mental health issues that's causing ongoing issues for the people around them, then I definitely think that that needs addressing. There's also a difference between unmanaged and undiagnosed health issues.
Good point.
So I think that that requires a bit of sensitivity in different ways depending on what you're dealing with. And also sometimes I think people are just assholes as well. So I think sometimes people go, oh, they've got mental health issues. And I'm like, do they? I think they might just be a dick. So there's that as well. I also think, though, avoidance is the best policy if that's at all possible for you. If this person is close to you and you can't avoid them, seek third-party advice in the form of a counsellor or therapist. So if you're unable to get the person in question to seek help or to manage their condition in some way and help themselves, then at least you'll be able to get some strategies to help yourself cope with their behaviours if that's necessary.
That is a marvellous point. I totally agree with that. And yes, hopefully that's helpful to you, Ash Banjo. On to the topic of the week, and I really love this topic. Carly came up with it because it's something that kind of – it's a tension that self-improvement is about, and that is kind of your authentic or true self, like the self that just wants to do whatever it wants to do without anyone telling you should be doing this and that, and then it's your best self. So – the things that we do to make our lives better, healthier, more productive, like all these things are hard, you know. So in the last episode, we talked about our non-negotiables, you know, and I know a lot of people freaked out about how early I get up and what I do in the morning. And, you know, I think because I'm a morning person and always have been, people like to think it's easy for me to get up early, but, you know, it's not. Like, my true authentic self wants to do what everybody else wants to do at 4:15 in the morning, and she wants to stay in bed. Like, she's, you know, she's regular person. Like, she doesn't want to go for a run. She would rather mess around on Facebook than write, you know, than sit down and, you know, work on her book. So, you know, I could literally go on and on about pretty much everything that I do that seems really disciplined, I don't really want to do, but I do it. So are you the same, Carls? Like, would your authentic self rather be doing, you know, crappy stuff than self-improvement stuff?
Absolutely. My authentic self is so lazy. I don't mean work-wise. I've always loved working, so working's always been a thing I've never struggled with. But diet and fitness-wise, so lazy. If I didn't have to go to the gym for my mental and physical health, I wouldn't. I also wouldn't care about food as much as I do. I'd just get a coffee and a donut every morning for breakfast because why the hell not? If there were no mental or physical ramifications, my authentic self would just sit on the couch all day crocheting, watching true crime documentaries and eating Sour Patch Kids. And each night I'd go to a different friend's house for dinner and I'd drink a lot of wine because my authentic self just loves comfort. If I just let myself do whatever I wanted to do, I would be, yeah, just sitting around drinking wine, eating cheese, and just, I'd be a lady of leisure.
Yeah, I think my authentic self would just be like on my phone, on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, and just going back and forth between all those three apps, because that is what I do when I kind of allocate time to myself to just do whatever the hell I want. That's what I do, and it's so lame, but, you know, it is what it is. So we're going to give some tips now about, you know, kind of old school style, old show style, about how to be true to your authentic self while also being able to be your best self. So my first tip is always look to your future self and ask, what would your future self most like you to be doing in this moment? So, you know, if you decide to gratify your, you know, I'm freaking Carly out now because I'm combining my first two tips into one. Oh, and she's God, going, Kelly, what are you doing? Are you going to go through all five of your tips? Like, where does this leave me?
That is exactly what's going through my head right now. And I'm like, Kelly, you're ruining everything, for goodness sake.
But yeah, there's not really two separate tips. But, you know, if you decide to gratify your present self at the expense of your future self, that is totally fine, but own it. Don't make excuses. Don't justify. Don't say, oh, I had a bad day today, I deserve that glass of wine. Like, just be honest that this isn't great for my future self, but I'm just going to do it anyway. And I acknowledge that it's not, and I'm not going to justify or make excuses. I'm just going to own the fact that I am making this decision that I know is not great, and whatever, I don't care. So yeah, Carl.
But also, it's a temporary
decision. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to combine my first two as well because I just realized mine are the same too. So there. So my first one is to concentrate on the benefits of seeking your best self. So yes, my authentic self wants to sit on the couch all day, but my best self knows I'd feel headachy, sore and sad if I did that, which is why a non-negotiable is what makes your authentic self your best self. So if you focus on how amazing it feels to be your best self. So, for example, I'm easily in the best shape I've been as an adult and I feel fantastic. Yes, that means I get up every day and pull myself out of my warm bed and go to the gym, and I say no to pretty much every treat that gets offered to me, but it really, really is so worth it. And I also think it's important to kind of get your priorities straight. So I had someone say to me recently, and I really hope that this isn't going to make me sound like an asshole. And if it does, please, I'm sure someone will tell me if it does. But I had someone say to me recently that I must lead a really miserable life if I never eat cake, which I thought it was a bit mean, but I also thought it was a bit stupid because, to be honest, like, Pega's really lame. Like, in terms of pleasure, like the pleasure that I seek in my life, and as far as the height of that pleasure is concerned, cake is so far down on the list for me that it's not even on the list. Like, I get my pleasure from spending time with people I love and going camping with Ben and hanging out with my niece and watching incredible films, reading brilliant books, having picnics, having dinner cooked for me at my parents' place and playing with my best mate's son who's just so freaking cute I can't even handle it. And I was kind of like, if cake is someone's actual greatest pleasure in life, I really think they need to get out more. Is that a mean thing to say?
Well, I don't know if it's mean, but I agree. So if it's mean, we're both mean. Because, yeah, I agree. Yeah. Cake is kind of lame. Like,
it's a bit shit.
Like, insofar as, yeah, the rating scale.
Yeah, like get a better pleasure center. If like that's the thing that you think makes me the saddest in my life, I'm like, no, not even close.
We might have to caveat and go, look, we're at the end of a 2-hour recording session and we're not our best selves at the end of 2 hours recording and talking. So if we say things that are
but
offensive.
But I am my authentic self and I'm like, cake is shit, okay? At least say cheese. Like, that's at least worthy of my saliva.
Okay, so my second tip is to allocate time to do the things you'd rather be doing and use the 80-20 rule. So what I mean is, like, if you want to waste time on Facebook, like, fine, do it, but allocate time to it. So I give myself every single morning when I wake up at 4:15, like, I give myself that first 15 minutes to just dick around and do whatever. You know, if you want to sleep in, if you want to have the giant box of hot chips, do those things, but put them in the 20%. And when they start encroaching on the 80% of time, then you know it's time to pull back. So, yeah, I don't believe in full-blown deprivation, and I know that the more deprived you feel, the more you push back at it. And I also know that for most people, not Carly, Carly has to be perfect because her body is an asshole. But
it is an asshole.
But for the rest of us,
that's why I'm so angry all the time.
For the rest of us, what we're doing 80% of the time is what counts, and what we do 20% of the time has very little influence on our life. So put your authentic self stuff in the 20% time and put your best self stuff in the 80% time and you should be fine. So yes, Carl.
I'm skipping my number 3 because it's pretty much the same as yours. So I'm skipping to number 4. I'm ruining it completely. So understand that your authentic self and your best self will fight each other constantly to be on top. So I try to always be my best self, but I know that for several weeks each year, my authentic self rolls up her sleeves and goes, step aside, best Carly, it's my turn. And the people tend to really freak out when they break their good eating habits or gain a few kilos or stop going to yoga, but we're living, breathing people and we change. So cut yourself some slack. And, you know, Kelly and I constantly strive to be our best selves, but our authentic selves win a lot of the time. Like, I'll be completely honest with you.
Yeah, I'll be honest and say that at the end of last year, my authentic self was winning a lot. And I was like, this is fine because once I get back to normal life in January, I would just revert to being my normal, healthy, exercising self. And then I did my
and
knee.
And then you fell off a paddleboard.
And then that was really awkward because then it's effectively I had like 2 full months of being not my best self, and now it's taking me a while to get back to being my best self, which is to say it might be a lot easier to – I find it's easier to maintain your best self than regain it. It's really difficult to regain that. So my – third tip is to have a strong why behind the things that you want to do. So if you're trying to lose weight and you're doing it because your mum said you should and no other reason, you're going to struggle. So if you're doing it so you can run around with your kids at the park or take a more active role in their sporting activities, you're much more likely going to be able to do it. So if there's not a strong why between why you want to be your best self, I think it's going to be very, very difficult to ever get to be that person. So, yes, have a strong why.
My fifth tip and my final tip is to take action. So that's generally my advice with anything. But if you're feeling rubbish, go do a teeny tiny little thing. So cook a healthy dinner, go for a walk, join a fitness program, book in an alcohol-free week. If you just sit around thinking about how you can make your authentic self go away and your best self come out again, it doesn't help. You actually need to go out and do things. So always make action the answer.
And allow yourself to do small things, because I do think we get caught up thinking we've got to do big, massive things to be our best selves, and we don't. It's all the tiny little things that add up into something big. It's very seldom that some massive piece of action is what gets us there. So,
never
be kind to yourself. Take small actions. They're much better than the big action that you actually never take. And I guess understand the discipline. This is my final tip, is to understand the discipline to do the hard thing does not come naturally to anybody. So every single disciplined person I know was not born that way. But, you know, they're driven, they have a strong why behind what they're trying to do. They're driven to achieve certain things. So they figure out ways and habits to be more disciplined. And, you know, I know too many people who just label themselves as I'm not disciplined, and they use that as an excuse to stop trying. Like, I'm pretty sure I'm pretty undisciplined as well. So everything that I've learned over the years and everything that I talk about in this podcast, and I don't know if this is true for you as well, Carls, but everything that I talk about are just all the things that I've developed, all the techniques and tips that I've developed to get around my authentic self and get myself to being my best self. Is that the same for you?
That's completely true for me. Like, if you had known me in high school, you would be shocked at how much I exercise and how into my health I am. Like, I'm a completely different person, and that did not happen overnight. It was incremental little things. And I think the kind of permanent shift has been the most interesting part of it, because I didn't kind of start being a person who enjoyed exercise and made it a part of her day. That happened very, very incrementally, over the course of 10 years, I'd say, because I've always been an exerciser, but to get to the point where I do it every day as I do now, that was very, very slow. And I completely agree. There's nothing about me that makes me think I was naturally disciplined. I kind of trained myself to be disciplined.
Yeah. I think every single person I know who appears disciplined on the outside, when you dig deeper, you find out that no, actually they're not. They're just like us, who like go, "Oh, squirrel." And they've just figured out ways to get around it. So that's our tips about managing that tension between your authentic self and your best self. Next section of the show is kicked ass. So what are the things that we did well this week? Because I do think it's important to celebrate things that you do well. So Carls, what did you do well?
So mine is that I've been experimenting with SEO and video content on both Smaggle and Crochet Coach, and my reach has been phenomenal in the last month. I'm getting just better and better engagement across all platforms, and I just feel like I'm really nailing my content and what I'm delivering to my followers. So that's really nice. And again, this is coming from someone who's been doing this for 10 years, and that's proof that you should never stop learning and never stop adapting. I sometimes look at the work that I do and I think, oh, I'm old hand at this, but it's all about developing new ways of doing things and learning new things. And it's really nice seeing good results from the changes that I've made in that department.
That's awesome. So my thing that it's so weird to go, I kicked ass at this. Like, isn't it just goes against the grain of everything, but we're forcing ourselves to do this. So I am speaking at the Copywriting Conference, which is on the first weekend in May. And I have been practicing and reviewing my two presentations for the conference. And I have to say, I'm pretty happy with them, you know. So I always aim to deliver thoughts and advice that are really practical and actionable, because I think if you're inspiring people to do something, you're only doing half the job. I feel like you should also give them tools to take action.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
So I feel like both my presentations tick those boxes, and I'm just really looking forward to delivering them.
You'll be really good at it. You're always really good at those. I always like your presentations.
Thanks, man. So what kicked your ass, Carl? pals this week?
I've had actually like a couple of really good weeks. There hasn't been anything particularly huge, but there are these sessions in F45 where you do 3 rounds of a 12 exercise circuit. So the first time you do 20 seconds, 20 seconds, 20 seconds. It's kind of hard to explain.
Yeah.
And then you do all 12 exercises in like a Tabata style. And then the next round is 40 seconds at each station. And then the last round is 60 seconds at each station. So yeah, it's mental. Yeah. So it's super effective, really torturous, because doing a full 60 seconds of lower leg squats or burpees in the last 5 minutes of an intense 45-minute workout is mental. And on this particular one, the timings didn't work out quite to equal 45 minutes. So at the end of it, you have to do a 2-minute plank.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah. Well, yes.
I was just like, I legitimately had to come home and have a nap after that one. I was like, nah, I'm done.
That would have kicked my ass too. So
what the thing that kicked your ass?
School holidays, because, you know, it's the first where both an aunt and I are working from home. And, yeah, it's been interesting. So I don't really want to elaborate. Oh, I can't elaborate in too much detail because I'll sound really super whingy and I hate sounding whingy. But suffice to say, school holidays kicking my ass this week. Yes.
I think a lot of parents are getting that. And that just about wraps us up for this episode. Don't forget we have a book available for sale. It's about diets and lifestyle detoxes. You can buy it at straightandcurly.com. Just click on the book tab, and we also have a Patreon page.
Yes. And as you know, we have 2 goals for our Patreon page, and we're just sharing the first at the moment. So when we get to the first, then we'll share the second. And that first goal is to reach $500 per month of pledges, and we're already 2/5 of the way there. So please, if you are listening to the show and you'd like to support us in some small way, just visit patreon.com/straightandcurly.
I'd also like to thank our newest patrons, Christina from Hair Romance, yay, Shana, Alex Stewart from Low Tox Life, and Daniela. You guys rock.
Oh, thanks, guys. And yes, please, you know, as always, we like to throw a little challenge at the end of each show. And this week, we would love you to jump into the Facebook group and discuss with us where the greatest tension currently lies for you between your authentic self and your best self. Thank you so much for listening to Straight and Curly. This week's show notes and links will be available at straightandcurly.com.
And if you have any questions or weird self-improvement hacks you want us to trial, you can tweet us at Kelly Exeter or at Smaggle, or you can email us at hello@straightandcurly.com.